Why I Speak on Polemic Issues. That is the subject I'm going to speak on today. It's not the first time I've tried to explain this, that I'm known for speaking on polemic issues. Not that I always speak on polemic issues. It's not the only ball in my jugglery act, if you want to compare it to some entertainment show. It's a small percentage of my talks are on polemic issues, but they're the ones that tend to rouse a lot of attention. I'm not trying to be a rabble rouser, and I'll try to explain why I do speak on polemic issues, specifically concerning the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, of which I've been a member of coming on 50 years, 46 years now. I joined just around this time in 1975. So yeah, it's not the first time I've tried to explain this. It's something like when we're trying to teach people the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we have to repeatedly state, we're not the body, we're not the body. Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita repeatedly says, so repeatedly have to say, it seems to be a hard thing to grasp why I do this, and probably after I've finished this talk, those who don't like me doing so, if they at all listen to this talk, probably still won't agree with what I'm saying. But anyway, here goes. There are a couple of things which prompted me to say this talk. I'll say the smaller thing first, according to Shuchi Kartaha Nyai, which means that Shuchi means a needle, Kartaha means what we say is a wok, a karai, a big pot for cooking. So if a blacksmith is given two jobs at the same time, one is to make a needle, one is to make a big cooking pot, he may make the needle first. It's a small job, and then go on to the bigger one. So the smaller one first. Just in the last few days, a godbrother sent me an invitation to send an offering to Srila Prabhupada for inclusion in the Srila Prabhupada Tributes book. The Srila Prabhupada Tributes book is parallel to the annually produced Srila Prabhupada Vyasa Puja book. The Tributes book is exclusively for directly initiated disciples of Srila Prabhupada to make their offerings, to publish their offerings to Srila Prabhupada on his Vyasa Puja Day, which is a very broad-minded and generous and devotional initiative, recognizing that not all disciples of Srila Prabhupada, in fact, the majority who are still in Krishna consciousness, are not very closely connected with the official ISKCON institution. Some have gone far away from it. Some have joined other institutions. Some are hanging out at various levels of Krishna consciousness, but recognizing that they all have their eternal relationship with Srila Prabhupada and inviting them to express it. So I was very kind. A godbrother very kindly invited me to make an offering there, which I haven't been doing for the last few years. So in reply, I said that, well, what I want to say doesn't fit the guidelines. There are guidelines for making offerings. One, no plagiarism, no repeating an offering that you made before. And one of the guidelines is no venting public grievances. So I wrote and said, well, my offerings, they don't fit the guidelines. That's why I don't send them to the tributes book or to the Vyasa Puja book. And that he picked up on that, and he replied that perhaps there are things apart from polemical issues you might want to say about Srila Prabhupada. He picked up, understanding that in my Vyasa Puja book to Srila Prabhupada, I will include some polemic issues. Now, the reason for that is venting grievances. Yeah, you could put it that way. That's one perspective on it. But from my perspective, my relationship with Srila Prabhupada is, as every disciple, it's one of service, and particularly it is service through the medium of the society which Srila Prabhupada set up and which he invested so much energy, his hopes in this society. And if I am to speak to Srila Prabhupada, I want to speak to him about my concerns for how I can serve him and how his mission is going on. It's what I feel I need to say to Srila Prabhupada, because that's my of course, it's fully possible to serve Srila Prabhupada, not within ISKCON, but my choice has been to be in ISKCON, and I feel if I have to speak to Srila Prabhupada, I can't just pretend that I'm feeling satisfied and with everything that is going on in ISKCON, and quite the opposite in many ways, and that I feel it's my duty, especially as a sannyasi within Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, to try to do what I can to rectify the situation. So I see that as part of my service to him. So that's why in my offering to Srila Prabhupada, it's not what my offering to Srila Prabhupada is not primarily something that I'm addressing to everyone else who might read it. It's to Srila Prabhupada, and that's what I want to say to him. Okay, that's the needle, and now for the big cooking pot. Figuratively. Just a few days ago, I happened to come across a video on YouTube about the erstwhile Harikesh Swami, which I watched because I am interested in the history of ISKCON, and then I, having seen that, I felt that, well, there are lessons to be learned from that, considering that shortly after this video was first released, Harikesh Swami suffered a very public fall down from his position as a guru, a sannyasi, and as a devotee. Now, this was meant to be analytical, not critical, for educational purposes, educating myself, reflecting on what happened, and because devotees often think, well, if such big, great devotees can fall, then what about us? So it's meant for that purpose, with the consideration, as the saying goes, that those who don't learn from history are destined to repeat its mistakes. Our philosophy, it's not some theoretical thing. It's meant to be applied to the real world that we live in, the science of bhakti yoga. And in the science of bhakti yoga, as we are practicing it within this world, issues arise all the time. There are things going on within Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, which shouldn't be going on. And I addressed that fairly recently in a talk also. Was that about the boat? That we're at the boat of ISKCON, it's sailing all over the waters of Kali Yuga, and it's being buffeted by the winds and by the rough tides because Kali Yuga is a bad tide. But if we stay on the boat and keep the boat on course, then we should go back to Godhead. So, has Kali Yuga entered ISKCON? That is the title of the talk. If you're interested, you could listen to that. So there are bad things going on in ISKCON, and devotees want to know, what do we make of it? Do we come into an idealistic society and we see there are so many things which we might not expect in a spiritual organization? So I try to give guidance in a thoughtful and realistic way. There is a contention that internal issues should be discussed privately. Well, I disagree with that, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't be giving these talks. They are being discussed openly, whether we like it or not. They are being discussed openly. Maybe not in the most charitable or objective way. There are certain persons whose main objective in life is to find out all the faults or even the glimmer of fault within ISKCON and to publicly comment on them in the most scathing manner, which brings to mind certain words in Bhagavad Gita in the description of the demons in the 16th chapter. Krishna uses the word parushyam, harshness, naishkritika. That's later, that's in the 18th chapter, is it? In the description of persons in Tamaguna, they're expert, means expert in insulting others. So this issues within ISKCON are being discussed on the internet, openly for everyone to see, by certain persons who have nothing to offer but scorn. They don't have anything positive to offer. I hope I have something positive to offer. I don't only talk about issues, and for instance, I've given hundreds of talks on Vishnu Sahasranam. Some people seem to take pleasure in that, in just seeing especially the leaders of ISKCON as demons and the members as just all completely misled. Well, I'm not doing that, but I'm just making the point here that these issues are being discussed openly in a most devastating way, but from the official ISKCON side, there's no response to that. It's just like if you go, for instance, on the Dandavats website, it's okay, they have a certain policy and they just want, you know, it's like everything's rosy and this and that. But there's no response to all of this. And it's understandable because some people are impossible. You can't discuss with them. It's just, you're a demon, whatever you say. They don't accept that anyone's got any sincerity except themselves. Although they don't do any, like I say, they don't bring anyone to Krishna consciousness. They have no positive alternative to no Krishna conscious society that they're bringing up. But if we don't discuss such issues, there are problems with that. Now, there are problems with discussing openly because people may come and they say, hey, look, there's so much dissension and it looks like it's just another big argument going on and I don't want to join that. I want to join something really spiritual. On the other hand, people coming to Krishna consciousness nowadays, it's just like anything else. If you want to buy something, what do? You check it out on the internet. You want to get into Krishna consciousness, what do? You check it out on the internet. And there are so many things said, and there's no response to that. And on top of that, if those who are trying to discuss these issues from within the society, if they're told, no, you can't discuss it openly, then what will people think? It's a cult. There's no freedom of speech allowed. There's no thinking allowed. Everyone's expected just to be like a sheep or something like that. So maybe we will get sheep if we just ignore all the issues that are going on. But we're asking people to dedicate their life. We're asking people to give their hard-earned money. And devotees do think. We're not supposed to do our thinking for them. We're supposed to teach them the Shastra, show a good example of how it should be applied, and people have to surrender with their own intelligence. So devotees, this idea, you shouldn't discuss, don't discuss, or you can only discuss privately, don't bring it out, don't tell it. But devotees, they do feel disturbed, and they don't know what to think about. They don't know what to think. If you see there may be some corruption here and a deep disagreement there, accusations here, sannyasis with female secretaries. What are devotees supposed to think? So I try to address that, which is, on one hand, it can be disturbing to think about these things. And yeah, it is disturbing. But on the other hand, if we don't try to see these things through the eyes of Shastra, then it simply remains a disturbance. It's not something I harp on about all the time, but enough that I'm known for these issues. I see things that I feel it's particularly my duty as a sannyasi, and especially as a guru within ISKCON, to address these issues, at least for the sake of my disciples, and to warn them about things that are going on within ISKCON, which, to my mind, and again, I'm trying to see through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra here. Guru means Srila Prabhupada's teachings. There are certain things going on in ISKCON which I definitely don't want my disciples to be influenced by that. I'm not the only one. If I was the only one, then I would have zero followers on YouTube. I'm not after YouTube popularity contest, but there are people, devotees, who regularly listen. I'm trying to give thoughtful, not pseudo or super intellectual, but just thoughtful and clear understanding. And some devotees are appreciating that. There are issues, as I see it. And you may not like to hear this, but I see that ISKCON is influenced. A definite influences, infiltration, if you want, of this new age, touchy feeling, Mayavad kind of stuff, some Sahajirism, and the mundane feminism, the same feminism that is ripping apart Western secular society and has literally caused schisms. Literally caused schisms, not just people mumbling at each other, but literally caused schisms in many Christian churches, and the same idea of gender equality, which was not promoted by Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, I don't want to go on talking about the issue now, but I'm saying it is a major issue because we see the effect is very destructive. So I feel I should talk about it. Why should, if I'm supposed to be training disciples, why should I let them be misled by, so what are we talking about? Mayavad, Sahajarism, feminism, materialism, different shades of Hinduism, direct atheism has made its entrance, and just some plain out-and-out nonsense. I don't speak about it all. If I was to speak about it all, then there'd be no end. You can go to various places if you really want to know about it all. You can find it all out on the internet. Now, it is a fact, as has been pointed out to me many times, that I risk making offenses. Because after all, what I'm talking about is deviations, if you will use the word, if you don't want to be euphemistic, deviations within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is made up of the best people in the world, devotees, people who have come to Krishna, people who are serious about Krishna consciousness. It's a very serious society. Even the four rules we have, they distinguish us from pretty much any society. I mean, what society, maybe for some monks or nuns, they have rules. Hardly any monks or nuns even have rules. No meat eating. No illicit sex is there, but even within marriage, no illicit sex. I mean, there's really quite some rules. And rising early, chanting. It may be that not everyone's strictly following this, but even to come into that circle and to be serious about Krishna consciousness. And of course, ISKCON isn't the only Vaishnava society in the world. I do risk making offenses. That's a fact. I take it like this, as one of my godbrothers reminds me from time to time, that following the example of the gopis, now I'm not saying I'm a gopi. Maybe by Krishna's grace I could become a servant of a piece of dust at the lotus feet of someone who's serving a gopi at some point in my existence. But the example is there. I'm talking about the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis. The gopis, they were prepared to put the dust of their feet on the head of Krishna to cure Krishna's headache. They were prepared to make offenses and go to hell to cure Krishna's headache. So it's in that spirit that Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, it's such a great movement with such tremendous potential, composed of the best people in the world, but there are serious problems within it, which I feel I have to address. The serious problems are connected with people, specific people, and therefore I run the risk of making offenses. And people may say, well, your disciples or those who listen to you, they'll also make offenses. Yeah, it's also a risk. It is a fact that some people who listen to my talks and then they take it in a manner which is imbalanced. That is a risk. That's true. On the other hand, like I say, Many devotees also feel some relief, some guidance, and again, as a guru, I feel it's my duty to, as sannyasi, Srila Prabhupada said that sannyasis, they should travel from center to center, sannyasis and GPCs, to see everything is in order. Okay, now particularly I'm talking on this subject today, this is the bigger thing, the cooking pot the blacksmith has to make, that example. I just received, just 2-3 days ago, a letter from a godbrother. And here it is. Dear Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, It was this letter is in regard to the talk I gave on an ISKCON leader who had fallen down, and then, anyway, I'll read the letter, you'll get it. Dear Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, please accept my obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Just a quick note to let you know that many of your godbrothers and sisters feel you are disobeying Prabhupada by publicly airing your grievances, and especially by publicly criticizing a devotee as recently done in the such and such video. I won't mention his name here. Even though you did praise as well. They feel, as do I, that such grievances should be spoken with leaders in private. They also noted from experience that some of your disciples are developing a defiant and or critical attitude towards some devotees and leaders as a result of hearing you complain about ISKCON and its leadership. They also get the impression that if ISKCON does not change in the ways you wish, you will leave ISKCON. Perhaps what I'm saying is not new to you. But from what I can tell, the intensity of disgust, this is the best way to describe their feelings as I see it, for these videos is increasing. I suggest you don't take this lightly, as many, many senior devotees feel this way. Discussing issues is not the problem. They should be discussed. It is discussing publicly that is the problem. If you'd like to discuss this further, I'm open, your servant, such and such. Okay. And my response is to speak publicly about it. Well, I'm explaining why I'm doing that. After getting this letter, I had that video, which was that particular video, which was being discussed in this letter, pulled from Facebook. Although I got a letter from this devotee again saying it's still there, but I don't post these things. I'm not on Facebook. I don't know how to use Facebook, but apparently it was pulled down. And I don't know. I asked the devotee who does the Facebook posting, and he said, "Well, maybe someone reposted it or whatever." From YouTube, it was also on YouTube. My videos go on Facebook and YouTube. From YouTube, I had it unlisted, which means it's still there, but it's not publicized, and you can't find it with a search. But it's there, and if someone wants to see it, they can write, and at our discretion, we'll send the link to them so that they can see it. So it's there, and maybe I'll repost it sometime when the present hoo-ha about it has died down. It's not a major controversy. At least I don't see it like that. It could be made into one. It looks like some devotees are saying they're very disturbed and they wanted to make it into a very major controversy. But I took it down because I don't think it's worth getting into a big fight about. There are important issues which are worth, which really are of great seriousness. It's what I would say from my perspective, and is an educational discussion. So I'm not going to fight. No. All right. Devotees feel disturbed by it. It hurts your feelings. Okay. I took it down. There's no need to get into a big back and forth about it. Okay. Actually, before I got the mail saying that many godbrothers and sisters are disgusted and all this kind of thing, I got a mail from another godbrother who, before I got the letter, which after reading it, I decided to have that pulled from Facebook. I got a letter from a godbrother expressing appreciation of that talk, saying that it was quite balanced and he'd like to share it with others, but he felt the title was too provocative and he suggested to change the title. So we did. I got another mail from another godbrother who just commented that, well, I was part of the investigation team into what happened with that devotee, and if you want, I could give you more information. So he wasn't expressing disgust or disapproval, neither approval nor disapproval. He certainly didn't feel disgust. Now, in the comments feed, which had already started coming in, it was a mixed bag. Many devotees who watched, some of them had been initiated way back by that Swami who fell from his position. And most of the comments were appreciative. Someone saying that, you know, they're all demons and this and that, and but I didn't get a general mood of disgust. There were unfavorable comments and there were comments in favor, appreciated that I'm discussing this for educational purposes. They understood it's for educational purposes. So they understood that. But then there was one comment by a godbrother who said that, well, Prabhupada didn't approve of discussing the fall down of devotees in public and said it would make them harder for them to come back. So that combined with this letter, then I thought, okay, then all right, let's pull it. It's not been taken in the way that I intended. So let's pull it down. Actually, what that godbrother who was saying Prabhupada didn't approve of publicizing the fall down, that was the case with Madhudvija Swami. And what had happened with him is that he had been having sexual fall downs. He's passed away from this world now. He's been having sexual fall downs. And Prabhupada didn't want that to be publicized because he thought it would make it, he'd feel humiliated. And then it would make it harder for him to come back. So this is not exactly the same case because we're talking about something that happened over 22 years ago. It's known, it's public, it's history, that this took place. And I didn't speak in a way that was meant for rubbing it in. Actually, in some of the comments spoke about some offenses that this big leader had made, some of which I was aware of, but I'd forgotten to speak about. It just didn't come in my mind when I was preparing the talk. And some I wasn't aware of at all. So that's another major factor that he made of. But on the other hand, you know, management, it's tough. And managers in ISKCON, it's hard to keep things on track without sometimes acting in a way that people feel, devotees feel offended by. So it's not an easy thing to manage, for sure, within ISKCON. So anyway, that was the background to my pulling this from Facebook. Now, I'll just go through this letter from this godbrother. Just a quick note to let you know that many of your godbrothers and sisters feel that you are disobeying Srila Prabhupada by publicly airing your grievances. Now, I thought, who are these many godbrothers and godsisters? Who are they? There's so many. I'm so blessed, I'm so honored that so many of my godbrothers and godsisters are watching. So many of my, do they watch all of my videos, or they just tune in on those which discuss sensitive issues? Who are all these many godbrothers and godsisters who are later, you know, feeling disgust about it? And then afterwards I got another email from the same devotee. It'd be easier if I said the names. It'd make it clearer to understand, but there's no real need to say the names here. So saying that that this devotee is a member of the Sabha, which is some kind of body set up by the GBC to get, supposedly to get feedback from the broader body of devotees. So these are the many godbrothers and godsisters, although not everyone on the Sabha is a godbrother or a godsister. Now, disobeying Prabhupada by publicly airing your grievances. What is that? Disobeying? Is there a specific order from Srila Prabhupada? I'd like to know about that. And again, grievances. Well, from your perspective, grievances, from my perspective, concerns. And especially by publicly criticizing a devotee, even though you did praise as well. Well, others see it as a balanced presentation. I wonder if those who are feeling disgust actually watch the whole thing all the way through with empathetically listening, trying to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. What happened, you're talking about publicly and privately discussing. Just a few years ago, I received an email from the GBC EC Executive Committee saying that either you withdraw a book which you have published and destroy all the remaining copies, or we're going to publish a resolution. So I said, well, could you let me know what the resolution is? So then they sent me the resolution. And it was a horrible resolution, more or less saying that I'm not in line with Srila Prabhupada's teachings. So I wrote back and said, well, could you tell me, have you read the book yourself? And can we discuss it? Is it just an ultimatum? No reply. And they published the resolution. And not only myself, but others, I've personally had several experiences over the years of trying to discuss issues, even before bringing them out publicly, trying to discuss with the GBC about issues and being treated in a horrendous manner, to tell the truth. I'm not against the GBC. Srila Prabhupada made the GBC. I understand it's not an easy job. I'm a member of ISKCON, and I accept Srila Prabhupada made this authority system, but myself and others have had the experience that of very poor dealings. And as saying, discuss privately with the leaders. But when I made a specific request, that can we discuss, just ignored. That's just one instance. Another time I was, shall I give a long history? Another time I was called for discussion. It wasn't a discussion. It was a kangaroo court. I was already guilty before. And then late in course of time, it was shown that the thing I was complaining about caused a huge rupture in ISKCON, which the effects of that are with us up to the present day and will continue. I just sent a letter to the GBC body saying that, hey, look, this is a big problem. You better address it. Otherwise, it's going to be a huge problem in future. At the time, they didn't want to accept that because some of the leading members of ISKCON, of the GBC, were involved in it. 1 year later, it all came out, but it was too late. So I have had bad experience. And others have also. The Sabha is supposed to be a body advising the GBC. There's another body, the SAC, Shastric Advisory Committee. Former members of the Shastric Advisory Committee, all senior, learned Prabhupada disciples, all founding members of the Shastric Advisory Committee. Two of them have passed away now. They all individually told me in private conversation, casual conversation, not that we got together to discuss the grief, that they had left the SAC because their experience is that the GBC doesn't want to listen to their advice, but they want to use them they want to make a show that they're taking advice from a Shastric body, but actually they don't want to listen. Three of them told me this. So, yeah, the point of actually there should be discussion. And you may say, well, and then I was invited to join the Sabha. Actually, I was invited to join, but I didn't refuse to join, but I simply didn't respond to the emails because from the beginning I thought, this is some concoction. Srila Prabhupada did want feedback. The GBC should have feedback, but Srila Prabhupada set up the system that after the GBC resolutions are made, before they're finalized, every year, there should be a meeting of sannyasis in Mayapur to discuss, just after the GBC meeting, to discuss the resolutions that have been made, and a meeting of the temple presidents, and they should all discuss the resolutions, and if they're unhappy with anything, they can send it back to the GBC. That was the system that Srila Prabhupada made. For whatever reason, that system is no longer going on. And another system has been made now. So I think we should go back to Prabhupada's system and not make up something else. What is this Sabha? I don't know. It's something. Some kind of concocted thing. Anyway, they feel as I do, as do I, that such grievances should be spoken with leaders in private. Well, frankly, and you know, this is getting pretty intense, I must admit. But frankly, this idea, speak in private, it seems to me to be just a cover-up, because the leaders, it's my experience and that of others, they don't want to speak. Now, again, I can understand that leader, it's everyone, they say, what is it? Opinions are like a backside. Everyone's got one. And I can understand being a GB member, you have your own zone, you have so many meetings, and then so many people wanting to give their opinions, and how can you discuss with everyone? But again, Srila Prabhupada set up a system. That system has been dismantled. My own personal attempts to bring grievances to the GBC has repeatedly resulted in grief. Yeah, I mean, I'm a sentient being also. They also noted from experience that some of your disciples are developing a defiant and or critical attitude towards some devotees and leaders as a result of hearing you complain about ISKCON and its leadership. Yeah. Oh, what did I do? I'm always keep on pressing the wrong thing here. Okay, it's all right. Yeah. What to do? Should I tell my disciples that speaking atheism or condoning atheism publicly on YouTube is, yeah, it's all fine, and yeah, it's all good. And for instance, and that leaders who promote or say things like Srila Prabhupada was wrong when he spoke about the disrobing of Draupadi. And yeah, it's okay. It's all fine. It's a quandary. If I don't tell them, then they become subject to egregious, to use that fashionable word, egregious deviations and thinking, well, everything's okay, everything's fine. Remember, we want to invite intelligent people who read and study and understand the philosophy and are supposed to see it in real. You understand the philosophy, but you close your eyes at the same time to all things. You should be able to understand what is right and what is wrong. And it doesn't mean that if you're in a leadership position, you're automatically right. In fact, you should be the paragon of everything that is right. Sanya Shira Alpo Chidra Sharva Loke Gai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned that Shukla Bhashtra Moshi, what is it? Shukla Bhashtra Moshi Bindo Jaino Nalukai. Just like if you get a little drop of ink on a big white cloth, you can't hide it. So, in the same way, if a sannyasi has a little fault, everyone is going to notice. Everyone's going to say. So it is a quandary. The best thing is if people didn't do things that they shouldn't do. And you could say the same thing to me. No doubt. And then they also got the impression that if ISKCON does not change in the ways that wish, you will leave ISKCON. Yeah. If that were to happen, I'm not planning on it, sorry. If that were to happen, there'd be firecrackers going off in some places. No doubt. Well, thank you for your concern that I might leave ISKCON, but there's a much, much bigger concern. Why are you concerned just with little me leaving ISKCON? There's a whole totally unnecessary push for... Now, again, it's my opinion, but it is an opinion which is shared by many seasoned leaders of ISKCON, for all it's worth. There is a push for female Diksha Gurus, Vaishnavi Diksha Gurus, which has the very real potential of not just me, but a large chunk of ISKCON, that means ISKCON in India, just breaking away Why are you worried about little me? You worry about bigger things. Intensity of disgust for my publicly airing issues. Intensity of disgust. Yeah. Well, I'm not the only one who airs issues. Start at the top. Why you're a member of the Sabha, you advise the GBC that the GBC, via their Dandavats website, has, for instance, aired the issue of the divide in ISKCON, pro-FDG, what is it, pro-VDG and NDFDG. They have aired it with a link to an article in the Guardian newspaper in which an ISKCON guru uses the word misogyny to describe those who don't agree with his idea. In other words, he's labeling the large number of devotees, including several members of the GBC who voted against this. Who voted against the female Diksha Guru resolution, he's accusing them of misogyny. Misogyny means hatred of women. It's a severe psychological condition. To hate all women means that you're either insane or you're a demon. And these things are being openly, not just openly, but on the Dandavats website, run by the GBC. That's just one example. Okay. Sort out the go and tell the GBC. Express. I didn't hear any disgust at that time from anyone from that about this, how this issue is being aired. Where was the disgust at that time? I don't think they're so much disgusted at the fact that I'm publicly speaking, but I'm publicly speaking about things that you don't agree with. You don't mind when issues are aired from the side that you think is right. It's from my perspective, and throughout all of this, we have to try and remain humble, but at the same time, we shouldn't be so humble that we just watch the whole movement go to hell. But it seems like some kind of arrogance. You're talking about discussion, but it's just like the bureau in India who run the leading legal body of ISKCON in India. They want to, they'd asked before making this resolution, discuss with us. The Jews, they didn't discuss. So you can understand that. You're talking about discuss privately, but again, I think it's just a ploy because those who are in power are using it to push it through. And again, I'm really not swabhavik. I'm not intrinsically anti-GBC. I reckon there's very many very good devotees who I have high respect for, but some things are coming out of the GBC, which, with all due respect, are very disturbing. And again, it's not only myself who feels like this. And he said, if you'd like to discuss this further, I am open. We can discuss, but it won't come to anything. I'm not involved in the discussions pro-VDG, anti-FDG, but from what I understand, I'm informed that they're going on and on and on, and no one's giving an inch. It's not actually a discussion. And even some article was published recently using, mathematical set theory to try to analyze Srila Prabhupada's books to show that a statement which, if anyone just took it at face value, they'd understand to mean that Suniti could not initiate Dhruv Maharaj because she was a woman. That's the standard meaning that anyone would, using mathematical sets. I mean, really getting into some real absurdity and then speaking about Suniti, she's actually a bad wife and a bad woman, although Prabhupada never said that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has gone, in other words, insulting someone who's gone back to Godhead. Oh, so we could discuss, but where's it going to go to? Let's face it, the positions are entrenched. We should really be discussing this, the positions are entrenched. Where do we go from here? That's what we should be discussing. Otherwise, discussed, it's not going to go anywhere. You already decided I'm a demon, a misogynist. So why do you want to discuss with me anyway? These are very, very heavy things. I just don't... Definitely I could get a lot heavier, and I'm sure from yours... I'm sure behind the... Well, I'm not sure, but I can imagine that behind the scenes there's... Well, it's clear. Yeah, disgust. You're saying disgust. You're disgusted with all these demoniac misogynists. Is there any way we can step back from all this and see what is actually best for the movement? Anyway, I'll continue to... In the meantime, I'll continue as what I might hope to be seen as loyal opposition and not simply some maverick or troublemaker who's simply trying to stir up trouble. So, all right, that's more or less it. And enough said. And no doubt you're all going to go back to Godhead, and you never know, by the mercy of all the devotees, I might get there too. And there are different factions in the spiritual world also, so maybe we'll be squabbling up there also. That's on a different level and a different platform, isn't it? My basic contention, we should understand everything Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. If we take Prabhupada's teachings at face value, which he meant them to be taken, largely, Srila Prabhupada was, in modern terms, a very non-PC person. He was against mundane feminism. He was against democracy. He was for capital punishment. He was for a hierarchical society in which some people have privileges that others don't have, which is in every society, but it's organized. So many things. Prabhupada was against mass education. So many things. So many issues. Maybe we have to go back and discuss what actually are Prabhupada's teachings and what actually are they and how we should implement them. Prabhupada wanted Varnashram Dharma has been totally, deliberately ignored within the movement for over a generation. So maybe we, instead of discussing FDG, VDG, and so many other issues, we should... Anyway, in another talk, I said this, that we need to stop and see what is our movement. What do we conceive of this movement as being? Where should it be going? And until that, we have this piecemeal issues coming up here and there with no open discussion of it. Let me be frank. I don't believe that you want open discussion, because from what I've seen, you can say I'm burned out and fried out or whatever you want to call it, ISKCON language. I don't see that there is a will for open and honest discussion. If there could be, very good. And even if I have it with you, what difference will it make? Because you're not the decision maker. So apart from that, I might sound very depressing and this and that, but I am very hopeful. There's a great preaching field all over the world. There's tremendous hope for Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya's movement will go on. The chanting of the holy names will reverberate in every town and village. I'm not overall pessimistic, although I am, as you can see, disturbed by certain issues in ISKCON. I'm trying not to be overwhelmed by them. I'm trying to give some understanding for others also, for all. All right, enough said. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya chunakang padaya nipatya kritvacha kakushatametada hambravime. Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad Gauranga Chandra Charane Kuruta Anuragaha Parivadatu Jano Yatatatava Nanu Mokaro Nabayang Vichare Yamaha Hariri Rasa Madira Madati Mata Bhuvi Vilutama Nartama Nirvishama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.